In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The topic for tonight was about the life of peace. And when we speak about the life of peace, it means you must live the life of peace to be able to really know it and feel it and see it. But the question is, how would you really live the life of peace? And I was just out of maybe millions of ways to live the life of peace. I'm going to just give you a couple of points. One point from God's side and one point from our side. I want you to know about God himself and how much he cares for you. So our first point will be trusting in God's promises. And the second point would be trusting in your prayers that they are lifted up to God and you really have that feeling someone is listening and is acting on all your requests and your prayer. On the first one, how much God cares for you, just thought about something that I spoke about a few weeks ago here in the church, about the parable in the book of Matthew, and in chapter 10, verse 29, where God said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will?" So you wonder about this one. Why did God said two sparrows for one penny? It's like one penny. And he said, not one of them. And then in the book of Luke, in chapter 12, he said, "Are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God?" Think about this mathematical equation here. If you buy two for one penny, so for two pennies, how many sparrows would you buy? How many birds you buy? For two pennies, how many? Should be four, right? But why God said five? And then he adds, not one of them is forgotten before God. What does it mean? If you think the American marketing system of buy one, get one free is something new to attract customers, it has been 2,000 years ago. It was back in the days where if you buy one set and then you buy the second, you get one bird free. What free means, it means it has no value whatsoever to the seller. It doesn't cost much. It is zero for me, so take it. But just come and buy two cobbles and I will give you one free. But look at this. God said it is not this way to him. To you, maybe. If you sell, this one bird means nothing. But to me, this one bird is not forgotten. That's number one. It's very important that you know that. God doesn't say anything for no reason. He must have a very good reason. So he wants to tell you that you have a value in the eyes of God. Even if anyone put you down, it's not with God. Human being, maybe. They have their ego, their pride, and they are self-centered sometimes, but not with God. So if you think for a moment that you have no value, think again that you are so precious in the eyes of God. You mean so much to him. If he is the king of peace, and he is as a king, should have been like sitting on his throne and just enjoying himself, he did not. He came down on earth and he died on the cross to save you because he loves you so much, because you are so, so precious in the eyes of God. Number two, when he said, not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father, it means even if you fall, you are not by yourself. Even if you are so far down in the very deep pit, you are not by yourself. God is with you in your fall. He's down there. You say, I am down. They put me so far down. Don't feel bad. Even if you are sinning so much, as long as you have that hope, and you know God's promise, that's the key to live the life of peace, that you will be with God even in your fall, just trust in him, and he will lift you up. Just to trust in him. Give that feeling, which will be our second point, when you pray and you'll be the person who can talk to God, trusting that your prayer are heard by God, you know that you are not by yourself. You are not alone. You must trust in that. It is all psychological things. If you feel depressed or tired and no one cares about you, and I am by myself, I am down, you are not. Here is what God said, not Abuna. That's the Lord Himself who said. So even if you fall and you think that you fall and you are far down, remember that you are not by yourself. Also remember, it says, it is not when you go down, you are not by yourself, you are with your Father. With your Father. He is all the way down with you because He knows your weaknesses. He created you. He knows you inside out. He knows what you do and what you feel, and He can bring you back from this pit back to the throne, because you will inherit with the Lord Himself. Then think about this. What happens if one falls, or one dies, or you are by yourself, one travels? If you are a husband or a wife, you lose your spouse or a dad or a mom or anyone, and you think for a moment that you are alone. God was so careful. Look at the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, not one of them. He did not say the one that fell. He said, not one of them. Meaning, I took care of the one that fell and the one that's left behind. So even in this one that's left behind, I will take care of. So you are not sitting at home by yourself, you are not working by yourself, you are not living by yourself where everybody will look at you in a bad way, or you feel depressed because now you have no one to take care of you. You are not by yourself. You must trust that. You have God always on your side. It's even more to show that He always takes care of you. Listen to what Psalm 91 said. He said, for He shall give His angels a charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. He will even send the angels to take care of you. So what else would, after we hear all of these wonderful promises? You are not by yourself. You are not falling without the permission from God. When God allows any temptation or tribulation to come to us, for a reason, what is it? I want to sanctify you, to get out of you anything that could be what we call it impurities. Because I know the qualities in you. I made you. You are my son. You are my daughter. I know that you will come back to me as such a strong person as I created you on my image and my likeness. I know you are full of holiness, meekness, humbleness, love, purity. I know you have all of this. I give it to you. I created you on my image and likeness. So even if you fall, trust that there is something, a good reason out of it. You will benefit from this one. Why? Because my main concern is your eternity. I am not looking for how much you progress at work and succeed and make more money. Of course, something that we will take care of. Not to worry. And as He said, ask first for what? For the money? What did He say? For the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Then He said, and all of these will be added to you. So He did not say not to pray for all of these. But first, set your priorities straight. Also, look at this. Please listen to this wonderful verse from Psalm 37. He said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with His hand. Even if you fall, trust that you will not be utterly cast down. Why? The Lord is with you. He will uphold you with His hand, not anybody's hand. That's a great promise. That should make you feel asleep right away without worrying about anything. Not to ever worry about tomorrow. Why not worry about tomorrow or what tomorrow will hold? Because I know who holds tomorrow for me. That's how much you should really trust in God. It is not by word, it is not like a sermon, but from your own heart you must trust God. 100% that God will take care of you by His own mighty hand. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, a nice verse that says, "For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Fear not, I will help you. I am holding your right hand." And right hand does not mean this right hand, the physical, materialistic right hand. It means your power, your strength, your talents, all what you have that you can use in the right way. That maybe sometimes you say, "I don't have talents. Maybe I am by myself." No, you are not. Even you think sometimes that conditions are not so good, work is not so good, there is no guarantee, there is so much of layoff, and there is so much of tribulation. That's the difference between a man who trusts in God and they enjoy the life of peace and someone who will not. So if you really trust, you will not worry for a moment, not for an hour or a day. I don't mean that we will not think what we do. We will, but I know God will take care of it. He will manage. He will take care of myself and my family. He gave me this family. I did not make up the family. He gave me the family. He gave me myself. He gave me the children. He gave me my job. So if He gave me, and if it happened that He took it from me, God, let it be your will, not mine. Thank you, God. Be thankful, and you will know and enjoy this wonderful trust. Sometimes Satan can take any chance, any problem, any tribulation that you go through, and they start, like I tell many in confession, like sledgehammer, keep hitting in your head to make you lose hope and get depressed. But please remember what the Lord Himself said in the book of John, chapter 8. Anyone remember how did He describe Satan? He's what? The liar and the father of it. A liar and the father of it. Do not believe him. Don't put yourself in depression because of this tribulation. Satan is very smart. No matter how many years of experience we have, he had thousands of years of experience. He knows how to befool people. So he's very smart. He knows how to put you in a corner so you can lose hope. But we are much smarter than him by knowing that God is on our hand. As you just heard the verse from Isaiah 41, that he will hold your right hand, and God is telling us, fear not, I will help you. So whom should I trust and believe? The liar or the Lord of truth? He is the truth, the way, and the life. The life meaning the life of peace that you will enjoy. Also, God wanted to tell us not to worry and not to be afraid of anything that may harm you. Please listen to what He said in the book of Luke in chapter 10. He said, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And," please listen carefully to this one, "nothing shall by any means hurt you." There is no exception. When God says nothing, it means nothing. There is no maybe a few things can hurt. Nothing, God said it. It's not Abun or anyone. It's God. If you believe that He is God, you must trust what He says. He says nothing, it means nothing, period. No doubt, and never even doubt a word or a commandment or a teaching from the Lord Himself. He repeated something similar in the book of Mark in chapter 16, and He said, "And these signs will follow those who believe. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them." And I'm sure all of you know the story of Saint George when they give him the poison to drink. And all what he used to do is what? Sign the cross on the cup. And even when they tied his hand behind his back, what did he do? Remember? By his head, he said, "Where would you like me to drink? From here or from here or from here or from here?" So he signed the sign of the cross by his own head, and he drank the poison, and nothing happened to him. So my first point, please trust that God takes care of you. He takes very well care of you. 100% guarantee, it is His promises. So you must trust in the promises of God if you believe that He is God. If not, I'm sorry to tell you that you do not believe in God. Period. There is no gray area in believing in God. There is black and white. So it is your decision that you say, yes, I trust and believe in God, and I trust in His promises, and from now on I'm going to enjoy the life of peace as He commanded me to. If He is the King of peace and I'm His son and daughter, that means I'm also the son and daughter of peace in all meaning. The second point is, you must trust that your prayers are heard, and there are so many people who lift up your prayers unto the Lord. So Saint Mary should be our best example. Please look at what happened. Saint Mary herself was the daughter of prayer. Remember that her dad and mom did not have children, so they were praying to have a child, and God gave them Saint Mary. So Saint Mary is the fruit of prayer. She was the fruit of prayer. Also look at her life. What makes her really understand the meaning of prayer? And that's why she will help us in our prayer. Look at her life. Was her life so easy? Was it so like somebody living in a palace and having such a great time? Let's analyze. When she was 3 years old, she went to the temple. She was deprived from the passion and love of her dad and mom, right? When she was 8, she lost her dad and mom. They died. She was an orphan at the age of 8. At the age of 12, and some people say like 13 or 14, in that teenager age, she left the temple. And where to go? She went to Joseph. Joseph, what are you doing? And how old are you? Are you a young man to take care of me? No, he was 85 years old. 85 years, and he was a carpenter. Back in the days, what do you think about carpenter job? Like the financial side? Almost nothing. So now she went to live with an old man and in a poor house. And after that, even when she heard the promise from the angel that she will bear the Lord Himself, Joseph doubted her. And imagine if she walked around, everybody was looking at her, look at this pregnant young lady, there's something wrong here. And after she delivered the Lord Himself, she supposed to, if you ask anyone realistically speaking right now, well, I am the mother of God, so He will take care of me. So what happened? Less than 2 years, they ran away, escaped from Herod. And when he, if I go back one step, when he was born in a manger. And then we escaped to Egypt, then we come back and live as a carpenter, helping his, in the eyes of the Jews, his father Joseph. He continued the work of a carpenter. The Lord Himself was working as a carpenter. And when Joseph died, the Lord was at the age of 16. So imagine a young man, again in our definition, a teenager, was taking care of his house, his mom. So where is God? Where's the promise that God gave me? Then continue her life. Look at this. When he became 30, he went everywhere to preach. And then, what happened? Her son was dying on the cross. The people were spitting in his face. They were scourging him. And then finally they crucified him. I believe if I were in her position, I would tell God, God, I don't think that your promise is true. I can't believe it. Where are you when I see the promise is not fulfilled? But look at this. When we wait to the end, that's where you can receive the victory. She kept waiting, trusting in the promise that God made. And after resurrection, look at Saint Mary everywhere. Everyone knows about Saint Mary. Even non-Christian, they know about Saint Mary. In Egypt, we have Muslims, people who fast the fast of Saint Mary. And they even fasted the 3 weeks, not the 2 weeks. They go from the beginning of August to the 22nd. And they fasted, and they are very happy to fast, and they ask for her intercession. And so many things that miracles are done by Saint Mary to those unbelievers. She waited that long. Her patience rewarded her. Her trust in God rewarded her. Did she lose her peace at any moment of time? No, because she knows this is God and the promise is coming from God, so I will continue my belief and my trust, and I know that He will take care of it. Why? Because if you remember what the Lord said in the book of St. Mark in chapter 11, He said, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. You will get all what you ask for when you believe. But sometimes we don't trust in our prayer. So I want to give you 5 points about what would be a prayer that are answered by God. Number one, that's very important, the answer to your prayer is the result of an agreement between two. How could that be? For example, I could be myself, my soul and my body would be praying and asking when I focus in my prayer and I mean what I say. It's not lips prayer. My lip, myself, and my heart, my soul and mind all together are praying. I don't come to church, stand in the front of everybody and lift up my hands and close my eyes, and my mind that nobody sees is everywhere. Many times we feel bad when we hear children running around, and the truth is we, the elder, run around so much, much more than children. The children run by their body physically. You see them running around. We, the elder, because of matter of respect to the speaker, we do not run away. Our mind does wander around. What will I do tonight? Where will I go? What will we eat? How about shopping? How about work tomorrow? And then you ask yourself at the end, what did you benefit from any sermon? You find it nothing. Because you did not give it attention. You did not come to church because you want to hear the word and tell God, as Samuel said, speak God, for your servant is listening. Listening. You hear what the Lord Himself says. So you must focus your heart and your mind in the prayer. You ask for the intercession of the saints. You and St. Mary will pray and ask for you. I'll tell you a wonderful story that I heard a short time ago. And I hope this will be encouraging to all of you when you write something and give it to Abuna for prayer. In the monastery of St. Mina, there was a monk taking care of the church that has the relics of St. Mina. And the problem is, at the end of every day, he finds so many pieces of paper. Everybody is writing a prayer, as we do here in the liturgy. Abuna, pray for me. And that monk felt like everybody should really stop writing a piece of paper. Just tell Abuna, Abuna, please remember me in your prayer, and that's it. He gets so tired cleaning the altar and taking and removing paper from the altar or from the relics. And he starts to really get so upset and get angry at people at some point of time. So one time, at the end of the day, after he finished all the cleaning, then he turned the light off. Then the light came back on. Then he started to look around. And he started to ask, is there anybody here? Look around, there is no one. So he went back again. He turned the light off and it came back on. So started to get upset. If anyone is playing jokes here, I'm going to tell the abbot of the monastery. He turned it off, then the light came back on again. Then he said, that's it. I'm going to leave now, I'm going to get the abbot, and he will take care of you. Then he heard the voice. He said, son, please give me a moment, let me finish reading the paper. So he ran to the voice beside the altar, and he found San Mina himself standing by the altar, and he was reading all the papers that people left on the altar. So Samina smiled at him and told him, please give me time to finish reading. These are prayers of the people, and they trust in my intercession. So I must lift up their prayers unto the Lord. So he started to give me Tanya, bowing down and telling, I'm sorry, Samina, I have made a mistake. I didn't mean it. So Samina looked at him and smiled and then disappeared. Your prayers are heard and they are lifted up to God. All your paper, like since we came here, this is the fourth year, there is no one piece of paper thrown away. Whenever we finish, we take out of the altar, down under the altar where we have a big bag for all prayers. Nothing is lost until now. Because I know and I trust that God, if we forget as human beings, God will never forget. You may ask, does that mean Saint Mina needs light to read? Of course not. But he wanted to teach the monk a lesson that you should not be so angry at people because their prayers are very important. And there are intercessors who hear your prayer and they lift it up to God. The minute you pray, since God will honor his saints like Saint Mary and Saint Mina, Saint Philibertier and all of those, the minute they hear it, it means a permission from God right away to answer your request. Otherwise, God will not let the saints to hear your prayer. But it is the pleasure of God for them to help you out. And they will. They will help you. So please ask and pray. If you want to have a biblical proof, please listen to this from the book of Matthew in chapter 18, verse 19. It says, "Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." If two of you agree, husband and wife, church and someone, you and your intercessor, your mind and your soul put together to pray for something from all your heart and with your tears and with your love unto God. Number two, you must trust in it. You must have faith it will be heard and will be done. And if it is not done, it is for your benefit, not against you. Please remember I mentioned before about God will answer our prayer in three different ways. He could answer right away. There is no problem to do it now. He could wait a little bit. It's not good for you now, or could hurt somebody else at that time. So let me wait for a time where you and somebody else will be happy and enjoy it. And the third time that God will answer your prayer by not answering your request. And I give that example before. If my son had allergy to chocolate, and if he eats chocolate, he could die, and he cries for chocolate, would I give him chocolate? Would I? Should I? Of course not. I would kill him. So I hear his request and my heart with him, but I can't. I know it will hurt him, so I will never do it. So I did hear the prayer, I did hear the request, but I did not and will not do it. You must have the faith when you ask that God will do it for you, for your benefit. Whatever he does, it is according to his will. In the book of Matthew, in chapter 20, in verse 17, the Lord said, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of what? Mustard seed." Mustard seed, that very little one. "You shall say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you." And that mountain doesn't have to be a physical mountain. You go somewhere, look at this mountain, I am a faithful believer, move. This mountain could be a sin that you love so much, could be a pride that you have in your heart which is killing you and the family around you without knowing it, and you are not trying to get rid of it. For you to move it out of your shoulder, that is faith. For you to humble yourself and you say, "I have done something wrong, I'm really sorry," that is a moving of mountain. So please, in the church, we don't take all things literally. It could be spiritually. Look at the mountain that is like shutting your doors against the love of people, against yourself to live the life of peace, and remove it. The third point, you must persist on your prayer and do not give up ever. In the book of Luke, in chapter 11, verse 8, "I tell you that if even a friend who will not come up and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." He will. If you have a friend and you are sleeping and you are tired and you don't want to get up to give him what he is asking for, but for his persistence, you will get up and give him. How about your Heavenly Father, who called himself Father and who taught us when you pray, you say, "Our Father, who art in heaven." He did not say, "Oh, you are mighty, you are sitting up in heaven and you are far away from us." No. Your Father is right here with you all the time. Number four, your prayer could be answered if you really give. And if you give, God will give you. Give your time, your money, your love, your care to people. How come that you be giving and God will not give you? There is no way. In the book of Sirach, in chapter 29, verse 12, it says here, "Restore up almsgiving in your treasury, and it will rescue you from every disaster." It will rescue you from every disaster. Every disaster. Not one or two or more. All of them. Give, God will give you and protect you. Because when you give, it's like you deposit in your bank. And God takes care of what you have in your deposit, and you will never lose it. You will never lose it. God is fair and just that He will never ever let anything go bad from your side. God said He loves what? A cheerful giver. So when you give with love and happiness, God will also give, and He will be happy to give you and answer your prayer and help you to live the true life of peace. The fifth point, that you live a pure life and have and do more merciful work. For example, right now we are in the time of fasting. So what you do in the time of fasting? And what would be a good fasting and the way we really should fast? If you want to know, not hear it from Abuna, I will tell you from the book of Isaiah chapter 58. Please listen carefully to this. "Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and He will say, 'Here I am.'" What better promise than this one? "You shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and He will say, 'Here I am.'" Just do this merciful work, and God will do it. The sixth and the last point is, sometime, even if we are so tired and weak and distressed out, and we are losing our hope, even that, God will always listen. In Psalm 120, it says here, "In my distress I cried to the Lord, and He heard me." And in the book of Exodus, in chapter 22, God said, "You shall neither mistreat a stranger nor oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. And it will be that when he cries to me, I will hear, for I am gracious." God is gracious. He will take care of you. If you are distressed or in any condition, God always on your side. He did not create you by accident. He did not say, "Oops, I made this one." No, that's not God. He created you for a reason, to be on His image and likeness and glorify God in all your life and live the life of peace that He wants you to live. When you live in hard time, it means you are not really looking at yourself as being the son or daughter of God. So please open your heart and your mind and remember the commandments and trust God. He called Himself the King of Peace. And if you are your son, you are the son of peace, you are the daughter of peace, and not let anyone to put you down. Enjoy this life of peace. You are His royal family that I mentioned maybe millions of times so far. He will never ever forsake you. Have that trust and have that hope and enjoy the life of peace, and don't let anything, no matter what, that can even shake you or move you around, because of Satan is like a roaring lion that he is looking for the chance to swallow any one of us. Trust in God, and God be with you, and glory be to God now and forever. Amen.